Glad that everybody's here this evening, as I said a few minutes ago. Tonight, I have another opportunity to bring a portion of God's Word to you. And last Sunday night, we looked at the eye, the singleness of it, and double vision if it's diseased, and the things that happen, in which if it's diseased, it's double, and the body's full of darkness, but it can't see clearly. If it's healthy and single vision, it's the spiritual vision that lights the whole body. So tonight we're going to continue along with not that particular thought, but a thought anyway. So if you will, turn over to John chapter 1, verse 41. John chapter 1, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. I read that scripture, and I want to ask a question. How many times in our lives can we think of, I'm sure there's a lot of memories, where we've been so excited about something that we just can't wait to tell our family, our friends, maybe even our neighbors, maybe even strangers, if we're that excited about it. And I was thinking as I was going through this lesson, my wife don't know about this, but I was thinking as I was going through this lesson, in my young adult life, one of the most excited times of my young adult life was when Phyllis agreed to marry me in 1964. Amen. I was telling everybody, believe me, I was walking on clouds. We were married in August. And then a few months after that, Phyllis was in town with a doctor's appointment. And then I was on duty, on shift at an Alaska Psychiatric Institute. And I get a phone call, my wife is there, wants to talk to me. So I met her down in the break room. Sitting in this break room, she informed me that God was going to bless us with our first child. There's another time that I'm walking on air. And you fathers can really identify with that, I'm sure. And really feeling good. And you know, there's a lot of things that I was excited about with my daughter growing up and the life, the things she did that I wanted to share with everybody. But I think probably the next most exciting time was when we found out a couple of years later that God was going to bless us with a second child. And we were so blessed. We had a daughter, he blessed us with a daughter the first time and a son the second time. I think about these things, and I thought about this as I was going through this lesson, and I really, truly believe those are probably the most exciting times in my young adult life that I think back on. And it's so very special. Now, I want to ask the question. And the question I want to ask is, how excited are you about the good news, the gospel of Jesus? Are you excited about it?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Does that excitement show in the exterior as well as the inside? Those two things have to be in harmony. What the exterior says, the interior has to be, or vice versa. Okay. And if we're truly excited, we're going to be doing the things that we need to do. Tom had a great lesson this morning talking about hell. And we're going to have some more. That's not any place I don't think any of us wants to be. Or we should not want anyone to be there. God wants all men to be saved.
Amen.
We need to understand that we have a responsibility to make certain that we're excited enough about the gospel, the good news, that we're going to be an Andrew. We're going to go find family. We're going to go find friends. We're going to tell people, I have found him, or we have found him, whichever term you want to use. If we're doing that, we're doing what God wants us to do. We're following his word, doing what he wants us to do. In verse 38, John chapter 1, Jesus asked, what seek ye? I'm not going to read the whole verse for time constraint. Verse 39, he said, then come and see and follow. So they followed him. Okay, then you're going to go to verse 43. We can still see this progress going on with the call of Philip. Okay, and Philip did what he needed to do, and later on in this chapter, you'll continue to see, if you read that chapter, where Philip was saying the same thing. We have found him. And we want to share this with you. Is that our attitude? Are we excited about it? Does your exterior show that you're excited about it? Does your exterior or your interior show that you're excited about it by your practice of your daily spiritual life, by your sharing, truly sharing the Word of God with others? Those things have to be present in order for you to be doing what you need to do to please God. See, what we have here is a personal work going on. And that's what we have to do. We talk about people being saved. We pray for God. We sing songs to God to send me some soul today. Okay, that's true. And then we should pray that. But are we prepared for when that happens? Are we out actively looking for souls? And again, we all understand we're not cramming things down people's throats. We're sharing the good news of the gospel. And any time we go past that, we best do some self-examination, self-evaluation to where we truly are in our spiritual life. The next thing that I want to look at is Jesus is the greatest teacher ever. Okay? Now, if you will, we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. Now, I want to take this word Messiah, and I want to take the letters as we go down through this for the next few minutes. M, Master, Jesus of Nazareth, as I said, the greatest teacher or master the world has ever known. We see examples throughout the whole New Testament of what he did, how he did it, what his motives was, and he knew whose will should be done and everything. Do we know that? Do we know? We say that, but do we know that? Do we truly believe that we want God's will to be done in everything? And everything in our lives? Be truthful with you. I believe that with all my heart. Do I follow through with that all the time? No. No, I don't. But you believe me, I certainly, my conscience bothers me enough to where I ask for forgiveness and try to move past it. And as we're looking at this tonight, this applies to all of us, whether I say I, whether I say we, or whether I say us. It applies to every one of us, each and every one of us in this room. You know, if we look at the responsibilities in the family, Tom, you're responsible for the spiritual growth of your family. You are the head of the household. I'm pointing a finger. I know there's three pointing back at me. But understand, you know, you have that responsibility. Logan, the same responsibility. David, you have the same responsibility. Ralph, Eddie, Philip, we all have the same responsibility. We have that responsibility. Mothers, you have the responsibility, a bigger responsibility in some ways than the men do. Why? Think about the Old Testament. When did those mothers start singing songs and teaching the Old Testament word? When they were nursing their children. They start right then. They start teaching them. They want them to start growing then. New Testament mothers, you have the same responsibility, the same accountability. Now, I said all of that to say, Tom, are you excited teaching your family? Do you want them to go to heaven? Of course you do. You know, I actually probably picked the wrong guy. I mean, we talk about Tom being excited about something. Tom's excited all the time. I mean, yeah. fact, I mentioned that here in the lesson about, you know, excitement that, you know, you can always depend on Tom to talk to you about a book he's either read, a book he's reading, or a book he's going to read, or share scripture with you, or share, you know, if he's talked to Chad that day, share some of that with you. So, you know, I really picked the wrong guy, but, you know, we could all learn from Tom as far as excitement. We love our brother to pieces. He does such a great job for this congregation. We need to appreciate that. So, and but we love all the people. We love all the brethren here and all that everybody does, because this congregation does do a lot. We could all do a lot more, but we do a lot. Okay, the next one I want to go to, I'm not going to go through all of the Beatitudes, but go to Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, it goes on talking about the Beatitudes. The main one I wanted to look at tonight is the sixth one. Okay, because let's think about what is the most, I'd say probably sought after thing in this life. We hunger, we need to feed this body. If it don't, it's going to die. We thirst, we need to drink water. If we don't, this body will die. We have to do those things. How is our spiritual lives any different? How are they any different? And the sixth, number six in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger after thirst and righteousness. So this needs to be our top priority. You know, when you look at these words, I don't think they could be any plainer what we need to be looking to. We hunger and thirst. Like I said, this is the best known experiences in the human life, necessities in the human life. This promise is not only to those who desire righteousness, who would like righteousness, but those who what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you're hungry, you really feed, don't you? When you're thirsty, there's nothing like a cool drink of water. Spiritual is the same way. Except we need to be hungry all of the time for the spiritual food. We need to be growing all of the time. We need to be thirsting after that water of living life.
Amen.
We need to make certain that we're doing these things, looking in ourselves. And you know, I keep saying that because scriptures that kind of jump into my mind as I go through lessons sometimes. You know, the Bible points out that we're real quick to point out the splinter in our brother's eye and miss the log in our own eye. You know, and that's something we have to be careful of. A scripture that was used this morning, in fact, I guess it was a song even this morning, that they'll know we are Christians by our love. Okay? Let's think about that for a minute. When we understand, it's not talking about the kind of love Logan is giving Reese right now. Well, it is not right. I'm aiming it right this instant. It's not talking about the huggy feeling. It's talking about, because what we talked about a minute ago, we don't want anybody to go to hell. We want all men to be saved, because that's what the Heavenly Father wants. So, you know, it's sad, I think, sometimes. I don't know if any of you ever do it or not, but if somebody that I was close to or somebody that I knew in this life that passed on, I wonder, did I do my part with that person? Did I even talk to that person about Jesus? If I didn't, why not? But I can guarantee you one thing. That helps me to grow in that area. Because then it makes me more excited about that area. Excited about talking to people more and more. None of us want to hear on Judgment Day, you knew me day by day. You knew I was astray. You never mentioned him to me. How many people go throughout the day with missed opportunities? Maybe God did lead a soul to you that day. For some reason, and I'm not going to get into particulars, it was overlooked. Or he did send you a soul. You were not prepared. Logan was telling me that he has a discussion with a denominational person at work. And Logan said, you know, that was good for me because I couldn't answer some of his questions about why we do what we do. So that was a growing experience for Logan. Logan's going to be ready next time when that happens. We all have to take these learning experiences, make sure that we go ahead and do what we need to do so that we don't get in that situation. It's not that Logan was embarrassed. I didn't get that anyway. It wasn't any of that. It was just like he felt, well, maybe, a little self-evaluation. I should have been a little better prepared. I should have been able to tell this man that. I should have been able to give him a better counter as to what he was doing in that denomination. And I may be putting a lot of words in your mouth, but I got it pretty well close, Logan.
Yeah.
Okay. But these are the kind of things we need to be doing. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for those moments. Logan didn't necessarily know that conversation was going to come up that day. But it came up that day. Yeah, you're going to work on preaching too, huh? It came up that day. Tom, he shared with me about just out of the clear blue with one of his clients or one of his co-workers that something will be said that will open the door. And again, we're talking about excited Tom. Okay? That's a compliment, Tom. It's not a negative. We need to be more like you when it comes to that excitement. But I don't want us to get too far away from what we were talking about, which is not, it's all related. But we were talking about how excited we are as Christians to make certain that we're doing what we need to do as Christians. Because I could tell you one thing, I think every one of us in this room, no, I take that back. I know every one of us in this room, if we'll look at our lives, there's been times when we've been much more excited about physical things in our lives than we have about spiritual things. So nobody has a monopoly on that. But what we have to do, and I will say it again, is the Bible talks many times about self-evaluation. We need to evaluate each day where we are. Logan evaluated the situation with this denominational person. Tom has talked to me before about evaluating who he should have went with this person. So next time he's prepared to go where he needs to go. And you know, he didn't say, if there's a next time, next time. Because if they don't make it, we need to make it a next time. There definitely needs to be a next time. Now I want to finish up with in the Beatitudes with the very last. I'm in the wrong one. Let me get over here. Number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when a man shall revile you and persecute you, and you shall say in the manner of this, I'm in the right one. But anyway, if you haven't had an opportunity lately to go through Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, I would highly recommend that you sit down and take some time to do some study on those 12 verses. And I got quite a bit more out of them. I've looked at them a lot. I've studied them. This go around, I got a lot more out of what I was looking at tonight. Wayne told me the other day that the more he reads, the more he studies, the more he's starting to retain, the more he understands, and some new things that God has helped him to grow into. Those are all positive things that we need to be doing. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. This is just finishing up after the Beatitudes. And when he was said, his disciples came unto him. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. 26. Every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, I'm pretty sure that all of us have seen what even still water, not running water or even fast running water, can do to sand. It goes pretty quickly. There's no foundation to it. From this part of this carpet over to that back wall, we bought it. That's all we had when we bought, when the church bought this building here. It's a concrete pad, but we wanted in-floor heat. So all the lines were put down. Back then, just like today, this church was always on a budget, okay? So the decision was made, since concrete was about twice as expensive, to go with something called gypcrete. I'm sure most of you men are familiar with that. And it's basically sand, mostly sand. That's about all it is. And I can tell you, we don't want to get that part wet, too wet. If it gets wet, we need to clean it up. We don't need to let it set there. But what's going to happen, that gypcrete is going to start to dissolve. There's no foundation there. So, now you learned something, a little bit something about the building if you didn't know it. But I think about the sand and the things and Matthew 7:29, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at the simplicity of the content of the sermon and its profound philosophy and life. And with the authority which he taught it with, when he spoke, he astonished the multitudes. They were impressed as never before. We all understand what scribes are, okay? They're scribes. They had no authority other than to write down and teach what they had been told and commented on and passed down to them about the law of Moses. That's all they had. They couldn't go any further. They didn't teach with any authority to speak of. So when these people, and let's think about that a minute. Who was Jesus speaking to? His disciples and the multitudes. Okay? So this is so important that we keep some of these things in our minds about what we're doing. We say Christians are to be Christ-like, which I agree with. So what did Christ do? He taught. He didn't rebound if someone called him a name or questioned what he was saying. He simply taught with this authority from God of how to do it and how you need to be. That's our example. I want to move to the next word, letter, in Messiah. The E for eternity. An inhabitant of, and has always been and always will be, of heaven. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to go to the first S in Messiah, Son of the Living God. Now, you know me, when it comes to that, that's the word we need to be talking. You know, I'll ask people, who do we worship? They'll say God. That's true. I can't argue that. That's true. But we also talk about the living God. When you think about that, as it comes down, we're lively stones built up to a priesthood. So from God all the way through, there's action, there's livelihood, there's movement, there's continuous direction that we're going. How many of us during the day sometimes pull that anchor line in from the right hand of God and throw it out over here to somebody else? We do that. But what we got to remember, that anchor line needs to stay firmly attached to the right hand of God.
Amen.
If it's firmly attached there, we're going to be doing what we need to do. We're going to be preparing ourselves for that heavenly home. We're going to be preparing others that we come in contact with for that heavenly home. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to go to the I, Emmanuel. God is with us. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. The A, anointed. The kings of the earth shall set themselves and the rulers and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed saints. The H, as I said a few minutes ago, he always has been, is now, and always will be an inhabitant of heaven. And that's where he is now, in the home, at the right hand of the Father. He came to us as man, he returned, and he abides, and abides there forever. Acts 1:9, when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. I think about that every time I read that. They're standing here, he's talking, he's still teaching, he's telling them some things that are going on. So what happens? He starts drifting away from them and upward, still talking to them. Now, I don't know about you folks, but if I was talking to somebody and that started happening, you talk about being fixed on something, I would be fixed on that. I would be hoping that I would remember the things that he had taught me so that I have the best understanding of what was going on. So, and that's what we've got to hang on to. We got to hang on to every word for our salvation. We have to make certain that we don't make changes, that we don't go further than what the Word says, but that we do go and do what the Word says. I had a guy came by my house Friday to make some repairs to GCI. Now he sees the stuff in my office. He makes a comment about it. Yeah, so I gave him a bulletin. Well, he didn't really care much for the bulletin, but he wanted to tell me. He was more scientific. You know, more scientific, but the two of them could work together. The science, he didn't say this, but his words indicated to me that he was going to take science over the Bible if there was any kind of discrepancy or wasn't going the same direction. He left the bulletin, wouldn't take anything I offered him. But I took the opportunity and tried to talk to the man. He brought it up. There wasn't anything pushy about it. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So who does the leaving? Who does the forsaking? We do. The Bible tells us nothing can take us out, pluck us out of the hand of God, except ourselves. And we can do that. And we can do that very quickly. Luke 9:23, which we look at quite a bit. And he said to them all, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. How much more plain could that be? We all have our crosses. There are our inner and our outer struggles. And we all have them. Some more than others. Some less than others. But that's why we have to edify one another. That's why we have to let each other know that we truly do love them with the agape love. We have to be very cautious and make certain that that's the kind of love that we're having. Because we can use another kind of love, and all we're doing is helping that brethren on his way to hell. Now, we don't like to look at those things. Sometimes disciplinary has to be taken in the church. But it's laid out in Matthew how that's to be handled. Everything is covered. Everything is covered as how do we be with our wives? How do we be with our families? How do we be with our husbands? How do we be with our children? How do we be with our neighbor? It's all covered. It leaves nothing for second chance. And we're out of time. You guys are probably glad to hear that. But anyway, we're out of time. So what I'd like to do is go ahead and conclude this. As I said a few minutes ago, we have an example of personal work. We have the example of the daily spiritual life, as I mentioned, in Luke 9:23. The excitement we need to have in living for the Lord daily. Now, we can all use prayers all the time about our daily spiritual life and about other things. Maybe here tonight, a brother has a specific need we could help him with as far as prayers. Just think of the opportunity and the privilege that is for your brothers to pray with you here tonight, to help try to strengthen you, to help you get past these struggles. That's so very important. There's one other thing that I want to pass tonight. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, that can happen here tonight too. It can start by filling the baptistry, being immersed in water, and going from there. We know there's steps before that. We know there's steps after that. But that's something we need to keep in mind. Anyone can be added here tonight. Because God will add you to his family. There's something that I want us to leave you with, these parting words. We need to be excited about working for the Lord, preaching the good news, leaving the world behind. Now, understand, I said leaving the world behind, not people. Not the people. The people are who we're supposed to be working with. The world's going to do what the world is going to do. But with that, I'm really going to be quiet this time. And I appreciate your attention tonight. And I'd be glad to talk to any of you about any of these things that I brought up here tonight. So with that, we're going to have the invitation song. If you have any kind of spiritual need, we pray, we plead that you'll please come forward without delay and let that be known as we stand and sing.